Hare Krishna, is there anybody who would like to introduce themselves before we start the call?
One second, Mataji. Dinabandhu Prabhu, are you there?
Yeah, he's there, Mataji, but it is still 6:16, right? I'm just waiting.
I don't know. The...
He was there, Mataji. He was there before. He's there.
Yes.
Yeah. Hare.
Yes.
He's there. We have still time, na? That's why I'm waiting, Mataji. Hare Krishna, is there anybody who would like to introduce themselves before we start the class? Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sanatan Dharma Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 38th Chapter, 23rd and 24th verse. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to His Grace Dinabandhu Prabhuji to give introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dinabandhu Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please take over the call for introduction, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna devotees. It's my sincere pleasure to introduce and to welcome His Grace Sanatan Dharma Das Prabhuji to the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. We appreciate your time, Prabhuji. Sanatan Dharma Das Prabhuji is a brahmachari from ISKCON Pune. He is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and has been practicing Krishna consciousness for more than 12 years. Prabhuji has a BTech degree from NIT Trichy. Prabhuji has worked as a senior manager in Tata Motors, Pune. His current services include area management and as project development head in areas around Pune. He is also a counselor, youth and corporate preacher, congregational preacher, secretary at the Voice Organization, which promotes education and Vedic culture. And he is also a remote mentor for New Vedic Cultural Center, the ISKCON Temple in Pune. Prabhuji knows many languages such as English, Hindi, Tamil, Malayalam, Bengali, Marathi, Telugu, and Japanese. His degrees include Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, ISKCON Disciples Course, and as well as teachers training courses. We would like to thank Prabhuji for his valuable association and extend a warm welcome from everyone associated with Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. So Prabhuji, if you would kindly take over the call, we would be very grateful. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, His Grace Dinabandhu Prabhu. It's my pleasure to be here with all of you. Before I start off with the prayers, I wish to tell something which I very interestingly read in the Chanakya Niti. As per Chanakya Pandit, he says that when you perform austerity or do tapasya, austerity, it has to be done single-handedly. Austerity has to be done alone. When you're studying something, right, you study something, then you do it in group of two. When you are taking up singing, when you sing something, well, you do it in a group of three. When you're traveling somewhere, you should go in the group of four. When you're doing agriculture, you should do that in groups of five. And when you're going out in the war, yes, then you should take in as many soldiers as possible. And I would like to add something to that. And when we are having a Srimad Bhagavatam class, the more the enthusiasm is generated in the Bhagavatam class, to the degree we have many devotees who are present to participate in surcharging our own consciousness with Krishna to increase our spiritual ambience. So if that has to be done, I request you all to please turn on your videos. I would like to see all of you because I see that you all arrived to the class, but unless I see all of you, I will not know, right? Who's my audience? Whom am I talking to? We have not even met by far. Yes. So by Krishna's arrangement, we are all meeting online. So I would love. So as per Chanakya Niti extension, if you all turn on your videos, then well, technically we are all together in the Bhagavatam class. So my request to all of you is that you all please, please, please turn on videos so that I'll be able to see all of you while serving all of you. Otherwise, I'll not know whom am I serving, right? That's very important. So I'll be offering my prayers now, Mangalacharan, and hopefully by that time, you all will turn on your videos. Well, thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya ज्ञानांजन शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधोभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरुदीनतारिणं श्री चैतन्यमीश्वरं परमानंदमाधवम्। Thank you. Very grateful to all of you who have agreed to turn on your video, because that makes me feel that I'm talking to devotees, I'm associating with Vaishnavas, and it's not that I'm actually talking to my computer. Well, that's not a very good experience. I'd like to, you know, deal with Vaishnavas. And Vaishnavas come together, we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, thank you all. Those of you who have turned on your videos, and hopefully to encourage me, if you want my energy level to be high, you want to really encourage me, you want to inspire me, then you'll have to keep your videos on. Please don't go away. Otherwise, my energy will go down. And probably I may even sleep in the class. So please keep me alive, keep me awake, keep me alert. And that's your responsibility. All right. Thank you all very much. Yeah, many of you have turned on. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. By your mercy, I got to see many devotees, because I have not seen many devotees like, you know.
That's a success.
Our tradition is that we just see the name and we hear the voice. That's it. We recognize the
name. Oh, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. All are important. Very important. Just Nama is not important. We want Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela. All as possible. Of course, Leela here, we'll all do is hear and chant. That's the only Leela we'll do. But well, along with Nama, Rupa is also very important.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Her Grace Shyamagauri Mataji was the one who just typed a mail. And she said, Prabhu, would you like to give the English Srimad Bhagavatam class? And well, I did not know Mataji before, but I just, well, anybody is asking for Srimad Bhagavatam, I love to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. That's something which I really love to do. And that's something for which I have dedicated my life. And I just closed my eyes and said, yes, but give me some details. And then she went on to say that your group has been having this activities in this yatra for the last 10 years and above. I was very inspired. See, to practice Krishna consciousness is very rare. To keep the practice of Krishna consciousness so consistent is very, very rare. So I wish to congratulate each and every one of you, all the devotees and your yatra leaders, for making this wonderful meeting possible. It's been going on for the last 10 years, and you have been inviting many senior Srila Prabhupada disciples, as well as many big, big leaders of our movement. And now you have requested this humble servant of yours also to serve. So I'm very, very grateful to be a part of such a mature yatra. You all must be definitely having a lot of realizations, and I'd love to serve all of you. That's why I've come. Before we begin with our topic of discussion, I wish to prepare our consciousness a little bit about in what mood we'll be hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class today. Once Sukadeva Goswami, one of the days, out of the 7 days, was continuing his Bhagavatam, the flow was going on, Parikshit Maharaj suddenly interrupts him. He interrupts him every time he gets a doubt, and he interrupts him every time he wishes to hear some more details. And whenever he interrupts him, he often encourages Sukadeva Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam with rich and finer details. So there I was meditating on one shloka which teaches us the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam class that you have so consistently. So I would like to recite one shloka, and I'll try to explain the meaning for that. So this comes in the 8th canto, 1st chapter, 32nd verse. I request you all to please hear this attentively. This gives the benefits of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. When you already know the benefits of doing something, we will do that activity with much better awareness and consciousness. That's the goal behind me doing this particular activity. So Parikshit Maharaj says, Tat kathasu mahat punyam dhanyam swastyayanam shubham yatra yatro tamashloko bhagavan giyate harihi. So, all right, thank you. That's very quick and fast. Your technology really works fast. Or rather, I would say the operator is really fast. Thank you. Tat kathasu mahat punyam. This Srimad Bhagavatam that you're reciting is mahat punyam. Usually, what is punya? Punya means something that purifies us. And mahat punya means that which has potency to immediately and completely purify us. That's the first benefit of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Next, it makes you dhanyam. In this world, everybody is after money, money, money. Money is honey. People are all after money. And Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the real wealth. Dhana, dhan means wealth, and dhanyam means the actual wealth, which is Krishna Prema. That is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Is each and every letter of Srimad Bhagavatam has the potency to give us Krishna Prema. So that's how we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Swasti Ayanam. Swasti Ayanam means the end and the process of Bhagavatam is all auspicious. Even the path is glorious and the end is also auspicious. We shall all achieve the ultimate end, which is going back home, back to Godhead, to the abode of Lord. And the Godhead is something which is achieved even while we are there in this material world. That is Swasti Ayanam. And Shubham. Shubham means pleasure. Yes, you're all happy hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Please show me by turning on your videos. And I'm looking at each and every one of you. Please, mind you, my whole attention is there with all of you. I'm watching what are all your expressions. Face is the index of the mind, right? So, and I see that quite many of you are happy and cheerful by hearing Bhagavatam. Shubham. Yatra yatra uttama shloko bhagavan giyate harihi. So wherever there is glories of Lord, all these things, these five benefits are definitely present. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4. Four benefits are present. So with this consciousness, let's move on to our shloka for today, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 30, text number 23. How does it go? Like one of you repeat after me or I just recite it?
Yeah, Prabhuji, you go ahead because it's...
Okay, fine. I will do the recitation. Thank you. You see, by inspiration of Bhagavatam, many more of you are turning on your videos. And you're continuing to keep it on. You're not going off. That's great. So 23. Shuddhaya Shantaya Nama Swanishthaya Manasya Partham Vilasadvayaya Nama Jagatstana Layodayeshu Grihita Maya Guna Vigrahaya. So this is the shloka for today. Word to word. Should we go for word to word translation? Okay. Word to word. Shuddhaya, unto the unadulterated. Shantaya, unto the most peaceful. Namaha, we offer our obeisances. Swanishthaya, by being situated in one's position. Manasi, in the mind. Apartham, without any meaning. Vilasat, appearing. Dvayaya, in whom the dual world. Namaha, obeisances. Jagat, of the cosmic manifestation. Sthana, maintenance. Laya, annihilation. Udayeshu, and for creation. Grihita, accepted. Maya, material. Guna, of the modes of nature. Vigrahaya, the forms. All right. Translation. Dear Lord, we beg to offer our obeisances unto you. When the mind is fixed upon you, the world of duality, although a place for material enjoyment, appears meaningless. Your transcendental form is full of transcendental bliss. We therefore offer our respects unto you. Your appearances as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva are meant for this purpose of creating, maintaining, and annihilating this cosmic manifestation. Before we take the purport, can I see all of you again? A share screen can be stopped. Yeah. I'll quickly, in just a few minutes, 3-4 minutes, I will tell you what's exactly going on, because I see some of them who have joined in from our Yatra, Pune Yatra as well. They're come here to encourage me. I can see some of them. So you are all systematically going under verse by verse. So we have not yet reached there. We are far lagging behind all of you. So I'll just quickly give a review of what's happening. This is currently the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam going on. The name of fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is called Visarga Srishti, which means how this universe gets populated with people, the different living entities. So the fourth canto of Bhagavatam especially highlights the lineage of Swayambhuva Manu, especially one of his son who is called Priyavrat Maharaj. See, Srimad Bhagavatam gives many, many names. And to tell you all, it's very difficult to remember all of them. We had to undergo Bhakti Vaibhav. We had to remember a lot of names. And I know what kind of struggle it was to remember all those names, right? So, but Srimad Bhagavatam is such a literature. When there is a person who is a devotee, a Vaishnava, a great soul, then the Bhagavatam zooms into the life of such a person. Zooms in. So fourth canto, immediately, who do you remember? Dhruva Maharaj. Yes, that determined boy, 5-year-old boy, who could make a world record, Guinness Book of World Record, of getting the darshan of Lord in 6 months. Wow, nobody could do that before him. In 6 months, he had the darshan of Lord right in front of him. And it is where then this Shukadeva Goswami says that this Dhruva Katha was recited to the Prachetas. That is when Parikshit Maharaj says, wait a minute. I would like to know who are the Prachetas. Well, before I tell you about the Prachetas, I need to tell you who is the father of Prachetas. Well, before I tell you about the father of Prachetas, I need to tell you the lineage. So then there are different lineage mentioned, that how there was a king called Anga Maharaj. He had a very, very cruel son called Vena. He was cursed by all the Brahmanas out there. And then there was Prithu, who came by the churning of his body, who was a Bhupalana Shakti Shaktyavesh avatar. And Prithu Maharaj's descendants, one of them who comes is Prachini Bharishat. Then all of you must have undergone that particular Puranjano Pakhyanam, that allegorical story for many chapters. Very interesting, right? And after that comes the Prachetas, the section. Of Prachetas are the 10 children of Prachini Barhi, who had gone underneath the water. And they had got the association of Lord Shiva, from whom they learned the Rudra Geet. And they were underneath the water for 10,000 years. So now currently they are still in the water. They have not yet come out. This is all happening in the sea, Lavana Sagara. And inside the sea, they are having the darshan of Lord. And they are here. And the Lord has appeared. And when Lord appears, he doesn't say, well, Prachetas, I've come here because you're all under the sea. It's been a long time. I'm really happy with your austerities. No, that's not what he says. Or he doesn't say that, well, my dear Prachetas, I'm so happy that your hearts are swelled with love for me. Your devotion has attracted me. He doesn't say that. What does he say? He says that I'm very pleased with your relationships. Sauhardena pratak dharmas. So I'm very happy that how you all have cooperatively rendered devotional service together. That cooperation is something that's pleasing to me. This has brought me here, nothing else. And to cooperate, something really important has to happen. What is that? Putting aside of your false ego. So unless we cast aside our false ego, there's no question of cooperation. So these people have cooperated so nicely. And before even Prachetas could open their mouth, Lord gives them a lot of blessings, one after the other. He says that, well, a son who will be born from you, all of you, that person will populate the entire universe. He will spread his influence all over. Later on, he comes to be known as Daksha. And he even predicts who would be the future wife, even before they got out of water. And he gives them a lot of similar benedictions because they have pleased their father, they have pleased the Supreme Lord, and they have pleased all the living entities. They please Shiva, their guru, and everyone. And even Narada. Narada also happens to be their guru. Everybody. So after this, the Prachetas start offering prayers to Lord. So we are in that particular section. They are offering the prayers. And this comes as a prayer of Lord. this particular shloka that we just read. That is 4.30.23. So now we'll go to the purport. I just wanted to give all of you a brief overview. The first paragraph. We'll go para by para, because what happens if I read the whole purport, I'll see half of you are gone, vanished. So I don't want you all to disappear. I want you all to remain with me, please. Otherwise, my enthusiasm will also go up. So we'll go para by para. Okay. And after every para, whosoever is operating, he can turn it off. And only when we read, you can keep it alive. Let's see how far we can get ahead. I've been given two verses. Let's see. A pure devotee. So, okay. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A pure devotee whose mind is always engaged in the service of Lord can certainly appreciate the impermanence of this material world. Although such a devotee may be engaged in executing material activities, this stage is called anasakti. As explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjatah. A devotee is always unattached to material activities because in the liberated state, his mind is always fixed on the lotus feet of Lord. Thank you. We'll turn it. I'd like to see all of you now, not the purport. All right. What is it that makes spirituality very fearful? What is it? Because people are usually fearful. Oh, spirituality. You have to give up everything. Yes, this is the path. If you want to become a spiritualist, you'll have to be like Sanatan Dharmadas. This is the hairstyle you'll have to maintain. You just get one pair of clothes. No, it's too dangerous. You'll have to apply paint on your heads. Well, you'll have to raise your hands in the streets and no, it's very dangerous. I don't want to give up. I'm very attached to my material sense gratification. So to give up, this is something which is very, very scary for many people. And this particular shloka is talking about anasakti. The principle of anasakti means to be detached from materialistic mentality, not necessarily the materialistic activities. An example for this is Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. How many of you know Rupa and Sanatan? Yes, we all know who are Rupa and Sanatan. Our Acharyas, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami is directing our movement. He's directing our movement. That's what Prabhupada writes, right? This movement is carried under the direction of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, the leaders of six Goswamis. Actually, they were really fed up. They were very fed up working for the Nawab of Bengal. Yes. And they wrote multiple letters to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu never replied to his mails. Yes, when you don't get a reply to your mail, how do you feel? You repeatedly send different mails and there's no reply. So he was not getting any reply. And finally, Mahaprabhu sent a one-line mail reply. Finally, they got a reply. And then that's something that was a kind of a revival for them. They were completely enlivened when they received a reply. So in that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very, very golden statement, which is very something very practical for grihasthas who are there in the outside world. We have to perform our duties. We can't quit jobs. Well, then how will the house run? At the same time, the scriptures speak about anasakti. How do we practically apply this principle? Mahaprabhu says, don't quit your jobs. Continue to remain the prime minister and the treasurer, Sakkar Malik Dabbir Khas. Continue to remain like that. But you should now, he uses a very extreme analogy. I'm not saying this. It's Mahaprabhu who said this. You should serve the Nawab of Bengal just as a wife serves her husband so wonderfully and so nicely, but she has a paramour. Her mind is always thinking about how should I go and associate, meet and be with my lover. But she serves her husband so nicely that he never gets a doubt that she has a paramour. She's cheating on him. He doesn't get a doubt. And the husband's very happy. And the wife goes and then later on does her business. And her mind is completely occupied with the paramour. So this is how your mind entirely should be on Krishna. And your activities, well, they need to be done in this world. And this is the principle which even Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Mam anusmara yuddhacha. Each one of us have to perform. Mam anusmara means to think of Krishna. Anusmara, continuously think. and yuddha, which means we'll have to do that aspect of doing our duties in this material world, loka sangraha, which means we have to go out and work, but work with the spirit of anasakti. And that will happen only when you are able to do anusmara. And you all devotees are doing this so wonderfully by assembling. I just saw Her Grace Vinita Mataji very nicely reciting the 10 offenses. That's when I joined. The 10 offenses she was reciting so enthusiastically. All of you are reciting 10 offenses. So you all have a really powerful man morning program. This is Anusmara. Daily, we come together, have this morning program. We surcharge ourselves with Krishna. Then we are ready to be Anasakta when we go and work in the world outside. Yes. Let's go ahead. Next paragraph. All right. This material world is called Dvaita, the world of duality. A devotee knows very well that everything within this material world is but a manifestation of Supreme Lord's energy. To maintain the three modes of material nature, the Supreme Lord takes on different forms as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. Unaffected by these by the modes of material nature, the Lord takes on different forms to create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation. The conclusion is that although the pure devotee appears to engage in materialistic activities in the service of Lord, he knows very well that material enjoyment for sense gratification has no use whatsoever. All right. Thank you. If you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, most of the devotees who are glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam are usually the kings. Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Maharaj. These Maharaj are not the ISKCON Maharajas. In ISKCON, Maharaj means sannyasi with danda. But these Maharajas are the ones who are having Atma, Jaya, Suta, Agara, Pashu, Dravida, Bandushu. They have a lot of huge kingdom. They have animal, cattle, vast lands, farms, wealth, treasury, huge tracts of land, everything. These are the ones who are the devotees who are glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam. And normally we find in this world that a person who is possessing materialistic assets usually is seen as a person who is enjoyer, or we can say the false enjoyer in this world. But that's no. Because a pure devotee, although may appear to engage in materialistic activities, but he engages that in the service of Lord. How was Srila Prabhupada traveling? He was traveling in flights. And sometimes he was traveling in Cadillac cars. Once one of the reporters really got annoyed. How is it that you are a sannyasi and you're traveling in such costly and posh vehicles and cars? And Srila Prabhupada, he said that, well, my disciples ideally are not able to arrange a golden helicopter or a charter plane for me. And that's why I am accepting whatever little they're able to give me. Huh? They were all baffled. Ah, what is this? You just, you made him dumb. The reporter was really dumbfounded by this. So Srila Prabhupada also apparently engaged in materialistic activities. He was counting money. And whenever money used to come, Prabhupada's eyes, wow. He used to be elated. And he used to call 3-4 devotees, please take this. 1, 2, 3, 4, money is finished. And the donor used to be shocked. My God, I thought sannyasis and maharajas and great souls means, well, in India, there's a saying, Moh Maya ko hath nahi lagate. They don't touch Maya. They don't touch money. But what is this? This is a sannyasi who is spending all money in Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada used dictaphone technology at that time to dictate. And thus we got Srila Bhaktivedanta purports through the dictaphones. So whatever technology is there, whatever material facilities are given to him, Srila Prabhupada used in the service of Lord. So apparently Srila Prabhupada traveled in flights, costly flights, using all technology, but that was everything for Krishna's service. And this is called Yukta Vairagya, the principle of Yukta Vairagya. But when can we do Yukta Vairagya? Yukta means attached to Krishna, and Vairagya means sufficiently detached from Maya. When these two things are there, then we can use the Yukta Vairagya. which means using Maya in service of Krishna. Otherwise, Maya is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. You cannot handle Maya so easily. So whatever Yukta Vairagya we do, engaging material assets, it has to be done under proper direction, proper instructions of spiritual superiors, or else it's like fire. We can get burnt off completely. So you have to be very careful while doing this principle of Yukta Vairagya. But definitely they should not be seen as objects of sense gratification, material enjoyment. Yeah. And another thing that is mentioned here in the purport is about this material world being a world of duality and a place for actually what Chakravarti Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, an Acharya, great Acharya, he says Vilasat, which means everybody thinks this material world is meant for enjoyment. Enjoyment. Yes, it gives a lot of enjoyment. But a pure devotee sees this material world meant for enjoyment. Yeah, Krishna's enjoyment. Not my enjoyment, it's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Yes, material world is made for enjoyment, but for whose enjoyment? For Krishna's enjoyment. That thing has to be clear. If this is not clear, then definitely we are going to be bewildered. Vilasat. Another important aspect of this shloka before we proceed to the next one is, although a place for material, this particular place for material enjoyment appears meaningless for a devotee when the devotee's mind is fixed upon Krishna. Who is an example for this? The very example for this comes in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. What was the innermost desire of Dhruva Maharaj when he started to the forest to meet the Lord? He wanted to meet the Lord face to face, because he wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, who is Brahma. Well, if there is anybody greater than Brahma, that is only Vishnu. So you'll have to go and meet Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna. It's only he who can give you this a kingdom greater than Brahma. So he said, well, I'll meet him. He was so determined that when Narada Muni came and said, come on, you're a small, tiny infant. Why do you take the words of your stepmother so seriously? Go back home and play with your toys. Dhruva said, wait a minute. If you wish to help me in achieving my goal, you're welcome. Otherwise, please get out of my way. Narada Muni says, okay, fine. I'll help you. I'll help you to find Vishnu. I'll do that. Yes. And Dhruva Maharaj was determined. I will show my father, my stepmother and that stepbrother that I can get a better kingdom, and I'll show them. So he was in a mood of proving. He was in a mood of impressing. He was in a mood of vengeance and revenge. That's how he wanted to keep it like. But as soon as he fixed his mind upon the Supreme Lord, he had a prolonged exposure to fixing his mind on Supreme Lord, what happened? He got purified completely. His desires were completely purified. And when the Lord appeared right in front of him, giving him darshan, what happened? Dhruva Maharaj recited a very beautiful shloka. Stana bilashi tapasostitoham tvam praptamam deva munindri guhyam kachan vichinvan api divya ratnam swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. He recited this, and you know what he said? What does this mean? I'll tell you the meaning. He says, Stana bilashi, I was looking for a post and position greater than Brahma. Tapasostitoham. That is why I performed this austerity and the entire thing, the last 6 months. This is why. That was the objective I wanted. I wanted a post. But what did I get instead? Tvam praptamam. I got you. I got you. Deva Munindri Guhyam. You who is not to be achieved even by the great saints and the demigods. Even they cannot get you. It's not possible for them. It's not easy. It's very difficult. But I got you. Kachan vichinvam. I was looking for post and position, material opulences. This is all meaningless, like broken pieces of glass. Meaningless. This verse talks about meaningless. As meaningless as broken pieces of glass. If I give some of you broken pieces of glass, what can you do with it? Now throw it in the dustbin. Trash. It's meant to be going into trash. And even if it goes to trash, it's going to injure the person who's going to collect the trash. So it's harmful actually. It's not just meaningless. It's even harmful. Hands are going to bleed. Even when you take, especially when many of you have children and your children go near, some glass breaks, you tell the children, please don't go near that. And that's how for the Lord, we are all like his children. and the material desires, the material assets, they are all like the broken pieces of glass. So Lord tells, please don't go near that. But still, what do we want to do? We think they are diamonds. They look like diamonds to the foolish eyes. The eyes with ignorance see the broken pieces of glasses like diamonds, and you like to go and pick them. But when you pick them, they're going to prick you. When you try to pick those glasses, they're going to bleed. Your hands are going to bleed. That's what is going to happen. I was looking for that. I was going to embrace the broken pieces of glasses, but tvam praptamam dekachan vichinam api divyaratnam. I have got such a jewel in your form. In the form of you, I've got the rarest of jewel which nobody has ever got. And thus what? Swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. I don't want this benediction, please. Because this appears meaningless to me now. Yes, it appears very meaningless. So that is Dhruva Maharaj, that a direct expansion, that how you meditate on the Lord, the material opulence appears completely meaningless. And that's what Prachetas are also praying here. Yes. So in this, to maintain the three modes of material nature, Supreme Lord takes on different forms as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. I wanted to speak a little bit on this also before we proceed to the next verse. This word, if you see, God has three functions. G-O-D, God. G for generator, O for operator, D for destroyer. Any system has to have these three. So the generation is something which requires passion. And the embodiment of this passion is Brahmaji. It's not that he is in passion. Well, he has to handle the passion of creation. He's the person who creates. If you see the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you all have undergone. He does the creation of the planetary systems, initially into three and then later on into 14. And later on, with collaboration with the material energy, he creates different asvasajagraya, andatamishra, matatamishra, adhikrit, mahamoyam, jamoham, tamascha, jnana, vritya, like that, one by one. He starts creating the 12th chapter. It comes. So he handles the creation. And destruction, well, we all know who is the destroyer. The destroyer is Shiva, the Rudra. There are 11 Rudras. As soon as Brahma, he created four children. These four children said, we want to be brahmacharis. We will not marry. He said, hey, you will not help me in creation? No, we are not helping, father. We are going to remain brahmachari celibates because we are Vasudeva Parayana. And then Brahma got angry. And with that anger from his eyebrows, usually when you get angry, how do you get to know a person is angry? The eyebrows. There's a different expression in the eyes. You get. So from the eyebrows appeared Rudra. Rudra. So Rudra comes out. And Rudra in Sanskrit means to cry. And this baby started crying. Then to pacify him, Brahma said, don't cry, don't cry. I'll give you 11 places and I'll give you 11 wives. So Rudra gets Rudranis. 11 Rudranis, 11 Rudra. And then he's pacified. Then he says, my dear Rudra, you're the only hope I have. Your four elder brothers, those guys left me, betrayed me. But you do some creation. And this Rudra, you know what he started doing? He started destroying everything. He said, hey, wait a minute. No, stop. He said, wait. What are you doing? I told you to create. You're destroying. Well, you're not meant for creation. You go and do penance. And when the right time comes for destruction, I'll call you. He said, okay, fine. Okay, boss. He went to Badamiti Manyata. He said, yes. And he went ahead. So Shiva is meant for destruction. He takes care of that. But what about maintenance? Maintenance can be only performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, all of you also may be having experience. To create something is very easy. To destroy it is even more easy. Something can be destroyed much more easily. Well, but what is difficult? To maintain it. To maintain. Maintaining is very difficult. I don't have an Android phone. This is my simple phone. Mataji asked me, it will be very easy to communicate on a smartphone. I said, this is my phone. No, button phone, old phone. Because this keeps your mind peace. People call it smartphone, right? So I'm smarter than my phone. Right? So creation, well, it took some time. Destruction, very easy. I just have to put it down. It's going to get destroyed. But maintenance, oh, that's going to be really difficult. That's the nature of this world. So to maintain this world, we need the involvement of the Supreme Personality of God. There's nobody else who can play this role. Nobody else. That is the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Shuddhaya Shantaya Nama Swanishthaya. So only he can do this role. So we need the blessings of the maintainer. That's the most difficult. So even to maintain something, you need Sattvaguna. So again, I wish to congratulate all of you. For last 10 years and plus, you all have maintained this yatra. So well, that's something remarkable. I wish to take each and every one of your blessings. How you have done that, I would like to know. Next verse. This is one of my favorite verses. I love this verse from the Prachetas prayers. This verse says, Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Hare Harimedase Vasudevaya Krishnaya Prabhave Sarva Satvatam. Can I elaborate the meaning first? Okay, I'll do that. Then somehow I love this verse. Any prayer you see, it starts with Namaha. Even before coming to Krishna consciousness, some of you may be devotees by birth, I don't know. Some of you may be devotees from previous life. But even that, one of the Vedic cultural aspects is when you meet each other, you fold hands and you say, Namaste. You say this, Namaste. So it starts with Nama. Namaha Aste. So this word Nama. So this word Nama is very well glorified in the Padma Purana. Ma means what? Ma means false ego. Ahankara. This is the meaning of ma. And na means no. So namaha. When you offer obeisances, you get rid of the false ego. We get rid of false ego. That is why each time we walk into the temple hall, we should offer obeisances. Because each time we are doing this namaha, we are getting rid of the false ego. Each time you meet a devotee, what should we do? Vancha Prabhu. Vancha Mataji. No shortcuts. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhobhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. That's the right procedure. Unless we do that, we are not going to get rid of false ego. That is why our acharya, one of the six Goswamis, his name is Raghunath Das Goswami, he used to offer obeisances to his deities 1,000 times a day. My God, that will be quite a difficult task. And don't think he was, very strongly built or something. He used to just drink three drops of buttermilk once in 3 days. That was his diet. We can't imagine that. 3 drops of buttermilk in 3 days, but still offering 1,000 obeisances to deities. That's only half the story. The second half of the story is he used to offer 2,000 obeisances to Vaishnavas in a day. This was his daily sadhana. And even if you read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is offering obeisances to devotees and deities is a very, very integral part of sadhana because it destroys our false ego. Namaha. So the sloka is Namaha Vishuddha Sattvaya. Vishuddha Sattvaya. Now in the previous verse, it was told that Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, these are the 3 Guna Avataras of Lord. Guna Avataras. Well, if these are the 3 Guna Avataras, the Lord whom you're offering obeisances, this person is indulging or actually operating with this material nature. So he must also be entangled with this material nature. Sorry, Vishuddha Sattvaya. Such a person is situated beyond Sattvaguna. I just now said Brahma, Rajogun, Shiva, Tamogun, and Krishna, Vishnu, Sattvagun, creation. No, Vishuddha Sattvaya. Vishuddha Sattva is a spiritual platform. Because even in this world, the goodness, the mode of goodness is always contaminated with some kind of passion and ignorance. You want me to prove it? Well, I'll give it to you. What are the 2 characteristics of goodness as per Bhagavad Gita? The Bhagavad Gita says goodness has 2 qualities. It says jnana and ananda, sukha. Jnana and sukha. So jnana means knowledge and sukha means happiness. And somebody who has knowledge, usually in this world, someone has knowledge, becomes puffed up, proud, raises his nose. And that's the beginning of Rajoguna. That's a fall. That's a slip from Sattvaguna. And somebody who's happy, very happy, 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 relax, becomes complacent and goes to Tamoguna. Yes. So that way, Sattvaguna's 2 qualities can induce us to slip down to passion and glide down to ignorance at any point of time. So we cannot trust the Sattvaguna of this world. Whereas Lord Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna, they are all Vishuddha Sattvaya. they are beyond these three gunas. Yes. Haraye. Another quality of Lord is Hari. Literally, Hari means a person who steals. Thief. Hari means a thief. Harna means to steal. What does he steal? Sarva amangal hare iti Hari. One who steals all the inauspiciousness from the life of his devotees. He is called as Hari. One who steals the mind and charms the heart of his devotees is called as Hari. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, he stole the hearts of not only the human beings, the men, women, boys, girls, even the animals, the flowers, the insects, the rivers, even the inanimate object, all of them got attracted to Krishna. Hari, he stole all their hearts. He stole all their consciousness and made them Krishna conscious completely. Hari. The next one is even much more touching. Hari Medhase. Hari Medhase means whose intelligence is always planning. Isn't it planning of what? How to deliver conditioned souls. That's his plan. Hari Medhase. He is using his intelligence to actually deliver all conditioned souls. This material world is called as what? Kuntha. And Lord's abode is called as Vaikuntha. What is the meaning of Kuntha? Kuntha means anxiety. And what is Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha means that world which is free from all anxiety. But even in Vaikuntha, the Lord of Vaikuntha has one anxiety. And what is that? That there are so many of his children, his part and parcels, who are suffering in this material world. So his anxiety is, how can I reclaim them back? How can I reclaim them? That's his anxiety. Hari Medhase. So he uses his intelligence. And the Lord says, well, I'll appear as the holy dham abode. You've all been to Vrindavan. All been to Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. These are all the different dhams. Well, if you've not been, don't worry. Even in North Carolina, you can create dham. No problem. It's possible to create a dham there. Yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishthami narada. He appears in his holy name. And through nama, you can create dhamma. That's why you're all coming together and chanting and creating the dham. You can do that through nama. He has appeared as the holy name. He appears as Srimad Bhagavatam. Purana arko adhuno udita. He appears in different manners as deities. How many of you have deities at home? You all serve deities? Wow, it's nice. His Grace Deenbandhu Prabhu and his good wife Lalita Mataji, they are enthusiastic. Really, you have wonderful deities. I'd like to see them. Yes, all of you have deities. The Lord has appeared as Archa Vigraha. So this is all plan of Lord. He himself comes. He appears himself as incarnations, avatars, the different incarnations to perform different pastimes and enchant the hearts of these conditioned souls. Let me show a trailer of what exactly happens in my spiritual world. Maybe that trailer will attract all these conditioned souls. Hari Medhase. And if that's all not possible, he sends powerful representatives like Srila Prabhupada, who came and gave Krishna consciousness to the whole world. Powerful, empowered servants. And even now, the legacy of Srila Prabhupada is carried forward by his wonderful disciples who are carrying forward the great work of their spiritual master. Yes, so this is all Hari Medhase. This is all the intelligence of Lord. So Lord is ever anxious to bring back the living entities to his abode. Hari Medhase. Vasudevaya. What is Vasa? Vas means to stay in a place. Currently, we are all quarantined, locked down. Vasa. Even personally, me, I am a preacher, traveling preacher. I travel to different locations. And for the last 8 months, I've been stuck to a single place. It's very difficult. But Vasudevaya means Vas, who stays everywhere and simultaneously. He is called as Vasudevaya. So he is present everywhere. He is present even in a small atom and even between two atoms. Such a person is called Vasudevaya. Well, you're offering obeisances to all these people. Does he have a name? Yes, Krishnaya. Many of them say, wow, Krishna just appeared 5,000 years back. My dear friends, this story is many, many years back. This is during the Swayambhuva Manvantara. 6 millenniums ago. Even that time, everybody knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me tell you, can I tell you a story just a little off the class, possible, if I do have permission? All right. There are a certain family traditions in India, traditional families, the Vedic families or Hindu families, for certain class, they have a custom. It's a customary to have, hold and host 108 Srimad Bhagavatam in their lifetime. They're supposed to host 108 Bhagavat Saptas. A Bhagavat Saptah means a 7-day Bhagavatam discourse at their homes. 108 in their lifetime. That's a rule in some of the royal houses, especially the royal clans. So there was a personality, a person in Mumbai. Yes, you all may know about Bombay, a city in India. So he had hosted 107 Srimad Bhagavatam Saptahas, the 7-day discourse. And on the 108th Bhagavatam Saptah, he invited an ISKCON devotee. Finally, he invited an ISKCON devotee on the 108th discourse. So the Saptah happens for 7 days. And how he used to host the Saptah was every day would have three sections, three sittings, 1, 2, 3. We used to have it in three settings. And after this particular speaker spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam on the first day, the first session, within the first 1 hour, this person started crying, tears. And the speaker was shocked and bewildered. What did I do? Did I commit any offense unto this person? Did I hurt his sentiments? What did I speak? Or did I evoke feelings of ecstasy in his heart? Even the speaker was confused. So he quite wound up his class and then went to this person and asked, did I speak something inappropriate, sir? Please tell me. This person said, the organizer who had organized 107 Bhagavat Saptas, he said that, my dear sir, I have organized 107 Bhagavat Saptas. You are the speaker of my 108th Bhagavat Saptas. But till now, nobody told me that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My God. I was not knowing the name of God. And it's you who revealed this. Come on, he said, that's the very first word. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's the very first loka of Srimad Bhagavatam. And people never gave you that knowledge. No, none of them. None of them gave me this knowledge. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You never knew that. So by Prabhupada's mercy, we have got to know the name of Krishna. He has highlighted that. So although they were giving Bhagavatam discourses, Bhagavatam repeatedly points out to Krishna as the Supreme Lord. But still, not many authentically glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? And Prabhave Sarva Satvatam. Prabhave Sarva Satvatam. Prabhav means to increase the influence. Prabhav. Sarva Satvata, of his devotees. So Krishna loves to increase the influence of his devotees. You have heard Ramayana, Lanka was run by Ravana. He was heading and ruling Lanka. But Ravana understood he is a person of a demoniac nature. So thus Lord Ram disempowered Ravana by defeating him, but he himself did not become the king. He empowered Vibhishan, his devotee, and thus increased the influence of his devotees. It was Lord Ram who conquered the Kishkindha Kshetra by killing Vali, but he himself did not occupy the territory. He awarded Kishkindha Kshetra to his devotee Sugriv. Lord Narasimhadev destroyed and killed Hiranyakashipu, the then emperor of this whole world. In fact, he was the lord of the three worlds, Swarga, Narka, and Bhu. All three lokas, he was the ruler. But he did not take any of it. He reinstated Prahlad as the ruler and himself went back to Vaikuntha. So Lord loves to increase the influence of his devotees. And he does, himself doesn't love to take credit. Who is the real hero of the battle of Kurukshetra? It's actually Krishna. Although Krishna was leading Arjuna from the front, when it came to taking credit, he went behind and made Arjuna come to the forefront and made him the hero. Krishna loves to make his devotees win. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples that why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not preach to the entire world? Why did he preach only in certain regions of India? He just had a South Indian tour and then he went to Maharashtra and then Vrindavan for 2 months and then Bengal and Orissa. He stayed most of the time in Orissa. Why didn't he preach throughout the world? Srila Prabhupada, with utter humility, he said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left that task for me. So even here you say, Lord empowered his devotee, Srila Prabhupada, much more than himself. That's the beauty of Lord. Prabhave Sarva Satvatam. I knew that I will not be able to complete the entire purport. That is why I summarized the entire thing here, because the purport is quite long, but still we will take at least one paragraph before we run out of time. Normally I have a habit of talking too much. Please excuse me. The purport, please. You'll go to the purport directly. I've given you the translation. In the previous verse, it has been said, Grihita Maya Guna Vigrahaya, that the Lord accepts three kinds of bodies, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva, for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and annihilating the cosmic manifestation. The three predominating deities of the material universe, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, are called as Guna Avataras. There are many kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Lord, and the first incarnations within this material world are Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Out of these three, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva accept material bodies. But Lord Vishnu does not accept a material body. Lord Vishnu is therefore known as Vishuddha Sattva. His existence is completely free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. One should therefore not think that Lord Vishnu is in the same category with Lord Brahma and Shiva. The Shastras forbid us to think in this way. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Devataha Samatvena Vishiksheta Sa Pashandi Bhavidruvam. Okay, this we'll come to this later. I'll tell the meaning of this shloka myself. Okay, so what's discussed in the first paragraph is how Lord Vishnu is different from Brahma and Shiva. What is the second offense against the chanting of the holy names? You all chanted today. It is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the exclusive superiority of Lord Vishnu from Brahma and Shiva. Even I was not, before I read this verse, I was not knowing that even Shiva has a material body. Shiva also has a material body. And you will get to know the position of Shiva. Will not have the time, so I myself will tell you right now that there are six types of avataras. The first are the Purusha avataras. The Purusha avataras are Mahavishnu, who generates universes. He is also called as Karana Udaka Shai Vishnu, because he sleeps on the Karana ocean, the causal ocean. He generates universe through his exhalation from his sweat pores. And in each universe, he enters as Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. And in each and every atom of the universe, he enters as Shirodaka Shai Vishnu. This is the first category of incarnation, which is called as Purusha incarnation. Then the second category of incarnation is called Guna Avatar, who are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. This is the second incarnation. The third one are Yuga Avatars. There are four Yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. So in each Yuga, Lord exclusively comes to propagate and preach the Yuga Dharma. What is the process to attain Godhead? Yes, so he comes as Yuga Avatar. That is the third. Fourth, there are Leela Avatars. Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Rama, Narsimha, Vamana. They are all Leela Avatars, different pastimes to enchant the hearts of his devotees. This is the fourth category. Fifth, there are Manvantra Avatars. Which means in every, there are 71 cycles of Satya Treta Dwapar Kali, which is called a Manvantra. And in each of the Manvantra, Lord appears in order to establish the rule of Manu properly. Manu has to ensure that the human beings stick to their prescribed Varnashram duty and spiritual duties. But even to make that happen, Manu needs the help of the Supreme Lord. So he comes exclusively to assist the Manu, either as a son, either as the brother of Manu or either as relative of Manu, some way he comes in order to bless the human race. So that is Manvantra Avatar, the fifth category. This will all be discussed in the eighth canto of Bhagavatam. And the sixth type of incarnation is called Shaktyavesha Avatar. There is Sahitya Shaktyavesha Avatar, Vyasdev, literary incarnation. So Shaktyavesha Avataras are actually Jivatmas, living entities, but they are specially empowered with potencies of Lord in order to execute a great task for his pleasure. Like Vyasdev is Sahitya Avatar. Prithu Maharaj is also Shaktyavesha Avatar, Bhupalana Shakti. He rules this earth very nicely. Narada, Bhakti. He preaches Bhakti very powerfully. The four Kumaras, They are for Jnana and Vairagya. So like that, there are different Parshurama, Dushta Samharaka Shakti. So he annihilates the miscreants. He annihilated 21 generations of miscreant Kshatriyas, rulers who were not accepting the Brahmanical and Supreme Lord's authority. So like that, the different incarnation Shakti Avesh. So here there is mention of Guna Avataras, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, generation, operation and destruction, God. Yes. So Lord is different from Brahma and Shiva. Sometimes if a person is not qualified to be Brahma or Indra, then Lord himself assumes the position. Yes. So that is the power of the Supreme Lord who takes over. Okay. I'll just quickly in 2 minutes, because we have 2 more minutes, I will mention the position of Shiva. The Shiva Tattva is mentioned here. Brahma is a Jiva, living entity. A person, how does a living entity become Brahma? Living entity, when first time comes from the spiritual world to material world, that time becomes Brahma. Or else a living entity, when performs the Varnashram duties, the respective duties for 1,000 lifetimes properly executed, becomes Brahma. That's what Prabhupada says. Second, so Brahma is a Jivatma, living entity with maximum punya or pious credits in the universe. He becomes Brahma. What about Shiva? Shiva is neither Supreme Lord, nor is he a living entity. The Brahma Samhita gives a beautiful shloka to describe how to understand Shiva. Shiram yata dadi vikara vishesha yoga sanjayate nahi tataprithakasti heto yashambhutam apitata samupeti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Just like milk. When milk comes in contact with some sour object such as tamarind or lemon, it curdles, right? It becomes curd. Similarly, when Lord Narayana, who is Vishuddha Sattva, he has to interact with his material nature. Material nature is Parvati or Sati or Durga. At that point of time, he interacts as Shiva. So Shiva is neither a Jiva nor the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a separate Tattva called Shambhu Tattva. That is Shiva. It will require a detailed discussion, but I'm just telling in brief. Okay. So thus we complete the discussion on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 30th chapter, text number 23 and 24. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was told that we speak for 1 hour and then there are some questions. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class, and thank you so much for giving quick review of entire canto. So thank you so much. I request devotees if they want to ask questions.
The question can be from the curriculum that we discussed, or it can be even off the curriculum. I don't mind.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, the Lord Pranam. Thank you, Prabhu, for the nice class. And I like one point was how we attach to qualities in goodness, right? Easy to remember, you mentioned about knowledge and happiness. And one question I have, Prabhu, in the 3 guna avataras, right? Like we know, Brahma, Vishnu,
Shiva.
And Shiva, right? So in this Vishnu, which Vishnu is that, would it be, Prabhuji? Is it the 3 Vishnus that we talk, right, about the Purusha avataras? Is it one of them or is it a different Vishnu?
Good question. Very good question. I was expecting someone would ask this. If you see in the Krishna book, or if you read the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when Brahma, the Mother Earth takes the form of a cow, goes to Brahma, then Brahma collects all the demigods and Shiva, and they go to Shirodakshai Vishnu in the Shvetadvip. Now the Shvetadvip lies above the Dhruva Loka and below the Mahar Loka. It's an island of 1 lakh square miles. This comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's a milk ocean where Lord Vishnu lies in the bed of Ananta Shesha, with Lakshmiji massaging his feet. He's also called as Shirodakshaya Vishnu only. So he's the Vishnu who takes part in the universal maintenance.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the nice class. I have one question, Prabhu. We are reading the first canto, third chapter. And when it comes to Purushavataras, you know, Karanodakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. It is mentioned that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is the second Purusha, is the source of all incarnations. And at the same time, in the same purport, Prabhupada mentions that all the incarnations in the material world, material realm, are from Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So it was a little confusing. Could you please elaborate on that point, Prabhupada?
Definitely. I'll tell you. Actually, the source of all incarnation is Krishna. And Krishna, when he expands as Balram, all the incarnations go to Balram. Then Balram expands into Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Anirudh. Then there is Narayan. Then there is Maha Sankarshan. Then there is Maha Narayan. And then there is Mahavishnu. So that's how the incarnations keep getting passed on. Just like you play a game of basketball. You pass on. Pass. So the first person who brings the incarnation to the universe is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he brings the incarnations inside the universe. And from whom the incarnations then get passed on in the Shvetadvip, that place which I was telling to His Grace Sundareshwar Shyam Prabhu's question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there, Shirodakshaya Vishnu holds all the incarnations and from there it comes. So the context here is who brings the incarnations to the universe is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu from Mahavishnu. And from whom the incarnations actually come to this Dharatal, this Bhumandal, that is Hirodakshaya Vishnu. So they get passed. So originally they belong to Krishna. They are in Krishna's body.
Right.
So then he, one by one he passes out. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for clarifying.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. It was such a beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna, I don't have any question, but it was very nice class. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Thank Hare
you for class, Prabhu. So just to clarify what you mentioned, so you said there are two Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. One that's everybody, even in the atoms, and between the atoms, and the one that's to whom Bhumi Devi and all the other demigods prayed to, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Krishna. Shira Udaka Shai. Shira means milk. Udaka means the water, milk ocean. Shai means one who sleeps there. Yeah. Shira Udaka Shai. Yes. Thank you all very much.
Prabhuji, can I ask one more question?
Yes, His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, I have a doubt in the second chapter, second canto, seventh chapter, Prabhuji.
Second canto, seventh chapter. Okay.
Yeah, verse 47.
Okay.
Prabhuji, that one, my question in that is, it's saying that if you just read the translation, what is realized as absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. Like the Brahman aspect of the Supreme Lord, we know, right, Prabhu, there are three aspects. Brahman, Paramatma.
Dhammeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaniti, Shabdate. Yes.
Yeah. So here, if you see that verse, Prabhu, maybe my understanding is wrong, but if you see that verse, it is talking about Brahman, but it's saying unlimited bliss and without grief. But when we generally talk about Brahman platform, we say there is no bliss, right? It is dry kind of. They're just meditating on the light. But here it's saying what is realized as absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. And there is variegatedness also in the Brahman platform. Is that?
Yeah.
Please check on that. Yeah.
Yes. So in the shloka, if you read, the shloka, the last line is given first. Because what happens sometimes is the Sanskrit translation cannot be, the last line of Sanskrit becomes the first line of English. That's how the translation goes. Brahmeti yad vidur astraja sukham vishokam. But the Brahman who is being spoken here is Bhagavataha paramasya pumso. So this aspect of Brahman, yeah, here the verse comes. So this Brahmeti yad vidur astraja sukham vishokam. This is what you are highlighting.
Yes, yes.
So but this Brahmeti, Brahma iti, the moment iti comes, it is this. Bhagavata paramasya. Look at the second last line. So that Brahman is indicating the aspect of Bhagavan only. That is unlimited bliss. Okay. It's not indicating the dry Brahman. It's a reference to that, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan.
Okay, the context
because,
is...
Yeah, because Brahman, the context is Bhagavan only. Bhagavata Paramasya, the Param Bhagavan. He's referring to that.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. I was confused with this
No problem.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, if no one has any questions, may I ask another question, Prabhu?
Yes.
Okay. So, Prabhu, in the same first canto, third chapter, when we were reading about the incarnations, you know, it's mentioned about direct empowered incarnations and indirect empowered incarnations. And direct empowered are like, as you mentioned, Narada and, you know, Prithu Maharaj, all those are direct empowered incarnations. But for the indirect empowered, it's mentioned that about the vibhutis. So, and when we are talking about the vibhutis, Prabhupada referred to Bhagavad Gita. So are we talking about
chapter.
Vibhutis mentioned, yes, in 10th chapter, right?
Yes. Adityanam aham Vishnum Jyoti Thamra Vinam Chuman Marichir Marutasam Smi Nakshatranam aham Shashi. Amongst the nakshatras, the stars, I am the moon. So like that, one by one he quotes. Yeah. Ashwatthasana Rakshanam. Yeah. Devarshi Nardastatra.
Oh,
all those things. Okay. There are 81 mentioned. 81 of them are coming in the 10th chapter. The 81 opulences. So they are indirect because they are not direct Shakti Veshavatar.
Right.
But some of them are. Like he says, Devarshi Naradastata.
Right.
Yeah, he also speaks about. But some of them, like Maharshi Nam Bhriguraham. Amongst Maharshi, I'm Bhrigu. So Bhrigu doesn't come in Shakti Vesh. But Bhrigu happens to be the leader of all the rishis. So he's indirect empowered. Mrigendra nam Mrigendroham. Mriganam Mrigendroham. Amongst the animals, I'm Mrigendra, who's lion.
Right.
So lion is indirectly empowered. He's not talking about Narsimhadev here. He's just talking about lion. You see, they are all the different indirectly expowered. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. All right. I wish to seek. Yes.
Prabhuji, Mataji, do you have some time to just elaborate a little more on the Shambhu Tattva?
Okay. All right. So you want to understand the aspect of Shambhu Tattva. If you see in terms of qualities, I'll tell some from the quality point of view. If you read the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, we'll understand that the living entities have 50 qualities. At most, they can possess 50 qualities. And even those 50 qualities, we may not possess in full. We will have it to some percentage. But Brahma is a person who has 50 qualities of all the jivas in full potency. On the other hand, Shambhu or Shiva, he will possess 55 qualities. Lord Narayan possesses 60 qualities. Narayana, Rama and all the other incarnations. But it's only Krishna who has 64 qualities. So what are the qualities? There are so many qualities, but these qualities, the first 50 qualities are qualities of Jiva. So the extra 5 qualities is what Shambhu also has. So if you read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the last chapters, it comes, I think, in the Paschim Vibhaga, that section. There are 5 extra qualities which are mentioned about Shambhu. So in terms of qualities also, Shambhu is a little more empowered, but he's not as empowered as Narayana. Right? So that is in terms of qualities, we can talk about Shambhu Tattva. Another thing I'll explain about Shambhu Tattva is, if I'm a painter, I'm a painter. Have you ever seen somebody painting a home, especially with that rolling paintbrush, right? We see that normally in the advertisement, etc. I've never seen anything like that. So if someone were to paint the home, become a painter, they normally put a glove. And with the glove you paint. So before Krishna never interacts directly with the material nature. So putting on the glove is something compared to the Shambhu Tattva. So Krishna with the glove covering. That's an example that Prabhupada gives. Another aspect of Shambhu Tattva is the very glance. If you see, the Mahavishnu glances upon the Prakriti. We hear this, and thus Saha Aikshataha Saha Asrijataha, the Shastras say. So that Aiksha, that glance, is also called a Shambhu. Because it is the glance that actually impregnates the material nature. So Shiva and Shivani, Bhava Bhavani, it is Shiva and Durga's interaction, union, that generates the different living bodies, the 8.4 million species. That is why even people worship the Shiva Linga. Linga means genitals. So the genitals of Lord Shiva, the union of Shiva and Parvati, that is Shiva Linga, Shambhu Tattva. So Lord does not directly interact with the material nature. That's why Lord Shiva is one who is called as Vishwanath. It's not Lord Narayana. Vishwanath is Lord Shiva. Kashi Vishwanath we have, right? So that these are all the different aspects of Shambhu which quickly came to my mind. But more you can get clarity when you read the 8th canto, the section of how Lord Shiva is bewildered by Mohini, or even before that, Lord Shiva's compassion by drinking the halahal. This is a place where Lord Shiva's section is mentioned. And even the fourth canto, I think previous chapter only, the third was Daksha section. There also there's a lot of mention about Lord Shiva. So through Prabhupada Purport's different sections, whatever I could understand till now, I just elaborated. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very beautiful course.
Thank you so much. All right. I'm waiting for instructions. What do I do next? Okay, if you all allow me. Thank you all so much for being a beautiful audience. I was able to speak well because you all agreed to switch on videos. Had you not turned on videos, probably, I don't know, I would be speaking to walls and computer. And that wouldn't be a very great experience because I could see the wonderful participation of all you wonderful Vaishnavas. That was all of your blessings is what made it possible, whatever I spoke. Thank you all very much. And I would like to especially thank the Yatra leaders and Her Grace Shyama Gauri Mataji for approaching me. How did you come to know? I'm quite eager. How exactly? I'm a very small devotee. How is it that...
Prabhuji, I saw your interview on Facebook. Ek Milakat Krishna Bhakta ke saath.
All right.
Prabhuji ke saath. Like
that. Okay. All right.
I thought you give...
Yeah.
I was in Hindi, so that's why special. And also, wow, came to know that you know so many languages.
Thank you so much, and you
have studied Srimad Bhagavatam so much. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I just wanted to let you know that all the shlokas and everything come on screen because of Hindu Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
You can turn your video on, Mataji.
She was the one who asked the last question.
Yeah.
About Shambhu Tattva.
Yeah. She, whenever somebody mentions some shloka in there, you know, even the devotees ask questions, she immediately pulls out shloka on the screen. So that's her quality.
Amazing. Thank you, Mataji.
And Prabhuji, you were asking about the deities, so I want to show the darshan.
So this is yet another Hari Medase. Lord has appeared on the screens. Amazing. Jai. Really beautiful.
Yeah. So these every year they go on Ratha three times. But this year, because of pandemic, they are getting bored at home.
No, they are enjoying your service ecstatically. Jagannath is always ecstatic. Yes, he's also quarantined, lockdown.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for inviting this humble soul. Thank you. It was an amazing experience in serving all of you. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindho me vacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jay. Prabhupada ki jay. Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay. Gaur premanande.
Hare Krishna Prabhu ki dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna. Dandavat pranam.